all the earth, Alpha Omega, Adonai, we bow before thee.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
You're the God of Father, yeah. You're awesome. Ibella, oh dear, oh yeah, Ibella, Naraka, Lord, oh. Ibella, oh dear, oh yeah,
Welcome. This is Prophet George, and tonight we'll be talking about overcoming bitterness, the cancer. This is the subject area we are discussing tonight, and I trust the Lord will bless you wherever you are. Get somebody connected right now. Let somebody know that there is a great message coming on board, and he or she will be blessed. So just connect somebody, link up with someone, invite someone to this program, and I believe that the person will be blessed. Hallelujah. God bless you. Stay tuned. Welcome, Aisha. God bless you all the way from Bedford. Overcoming bitterness, the cancer of bitterness. Overcoming bitterness, a great subject of discussion tonight. And wherever you are, just get someone connected. Overcoming bitterness. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you all listening to me tonight. And this is Prophet George Dokosi, and it's all the way from Accra. Hallelujah. Someone is trying to call through. May the Lord have mercy on him. Amen. So the subject area is overcoming bitterness. And I want you to take your Bibles and look at what is in the book of Hebrews, the chapter 12, the verse 14 and the verse 15. Hebrews, the chapter 12 and the verse 14. Now, in these two verses, we have the call for us to follow peace with all men, hallelujah. And there is also an addition of holiness, hallelujah. But then the end part of it talks about, lest any roots of bitterness springing up, trouble, hallelujah. Any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. Now it explains the fact that you are not only the person, you are not going to be the only person who will carry that bitterness. That you can infect other people of that bitterness, that cancer. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that we should follow peace. We should seek peace with all men. But if we allow bitterness to root itself in our lives, it's not going to affect only us, but it's going to affect many other people. The Bible says that bitterness springing up, well, if it's what? The inner root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Thereby many will also be defiled. Many people be infected by that disease called bitterness. Hallelujah. So that when you go to the scripture, realize that a Christian can fail to obtain the grace needed to stay cheerful and happy in Christ. A Christian can, Hallelujah. And so we must be careful, because there was a warning there concerning us failing to obtain grace that will keep us cheerful in Christ. That's when you allow bitterness to root itself in your life. Hallelujah. So here we find people who are ever complaining, always bitter. When you see the reaction of a bitter heart, you will know that this person is bitter. It's expressing bitterness. It's acting with bitterness. Hallelujah. So we get bitter complaining of a dissatisfied soul, a person who is so dissatisfied, a dissatisfied Christian who has the ability to infect the spiritual health of an entire local church. Someone who is so bitter has the ability to infect the health, the spiritual health of the local church. It takes only one person. Hallelujah. And there are many carcasses of people who have died in the valley of question. They've asked questions. They've died in the valley of questions. They've lived in doubts. They've infected other people with their doubts. They've infected other people with their questions. Questions they think God has not answered. They've extended the pain, their bitterness unto others. Others, in their ignorance, bought into their philosophy, their ideals, their pain, and it spread cancer. The cancer of bitterness. Wherever you're listening to me from, I just want you to know tonight that this is a very dangerous situation. The result of bitterness is failure. Bitterness doesn't give victory. It will not give you success. It won't give you success. It will not. The result you get in bitterness is failure. Hallelujah. And it can devastate your entire life. Hallelujah. What God says you should do something, because of bitterness, you do the opposite. When God says forgive, because of bitterness, you will hate. You wish that that person is destroyed. Bitterness. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, it's so important for us to understand this subject. That it is not only even our spiritual health, our physical health can also be affected. There are people who are living with so much bitterness that their bodies are so affected. Growing lean, not looking healthy, because you are bitter within. And so you're getting depressed. And many times some of these things, look, I tell you something. In this life, people will give you trouble. You will find trouble on your left, on your right. But will you hold bitterness against somebody? Will you be bitter? Will you act out of bitterness? Many churches today are divided because one individual was bitter. One individual got bitter and divided the church. That church hitherto was healthy, was loving, was caring, but somebody got bitter. Someone got bitter, beloved, and the church got divided. Because that person infected other people of his or her bitterness. So, bitterness is not helpful for spiritual work. It's not helpful for the kingdom work. We cannot be bitter and still be in the army of God, seeking to promote the kingdom of God. Because a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. So, beloved, wherever you are listening to me, I don't know whether you are bitter or you feel bitter. But the truth is that bitterness doesn't help. You are bitter. You put together all the things that perhaps didn't happen well or did not really favor you. They've created a certain block of bitterness in your life. You don't smile anymore. You don't have the energy to respond well to people's greetings because you are bitter. You see other people are successful and you think you are not successful, so you are bitter. That people are bitter. Bitter. That somebody has something they don't have, so you are bitter. But bitterness doesn't give a good result. It only brings failure. You get deteriorated. You deteriorate every time as you keep yourself in this sense of bitterness. I'm speaking to you tonight, wherever you are, that it's not a good thing to hold or to keep yourself in bitterness against anybody. It doesn't help you spiritually. It doesn't help the church spiritually. It doesn't help you physically. It doesn't. Praise the Lord. And it will not help you. One story in the Bible that I think, yes, describes very well how we should deal with this whole subject of what bitterness is, that of Joseph. Joseph. You know, there was a revelation to this child that he will be exalted above the rest. But the question is, what happened next? Envy, malice. His brothers were not thrilled that Joseph was the one to rise above them. They did not agree with God. They perhaps even didn't think that it was God. Because they could not just imagine that it should be Joseph. But God chose Joseph. Hallelujah. And so these brothers of Joseph, their hearts were burning. Envy, jealousy, malice. They thought, how could this be? It should have been us, not him. And so we know about all the things that they did to Joseph. They did all the treacherous things they could imagine. They met, they conceived, they planned, they executed all they could against young Joseph, the dreamer. Joseph, the dreamer, the visionary. Joseph, the great man. The potential great man. And so, they did all things. Those of you who read your Bibles know the story very well. How finally he ended up in the hands of Potiphar. I think Potiphar purchased him. Potiphar purchased him. And every stage of trouble. Hallelujah. But you see, it also means that at the final stage of the story, when finally Joseph became a prime minister, to put it, in Egypt, a journey of difficulties that ended in glory. I believe strongly that Joseph, when he recognized his brothers, his family, he had every right to command them executed because of the treachery that they met it out to him. But you know what Joseph said? He said, God sent me to Egypt. Oh my God. You know, he didn't say, okay, it's your troubles that brought me here. He said, God. He said, God sent me to this country. It's God who brought me here. That's what Joseph said. Hallelujah. You didn't bring me here. You were used. You were used to bring me to a place of glory, to be in a position to help you. Oh, so what is he saying? He said, your betrayal resulted in my exaltation. So he told the bride, I mean, one thing is, that's it. The fact that he did not act in sort of in revenge against them goes deep to demonstrate to us the heart of Joseph. Why even God chose him? Many times people think it's about breaking and losing and shouting over the roof before things happen. You can do all those things and still be struggling. God knows the heart. He said the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro to see a particular heart. God is looking for a particular heart. God is looking for your heart first, not your tongues. He's looking for your heart, your motives, your intentions, your humility. God is looking for all this, my brother, my sister. God is looking for all that. That is what the Bible says. God's eyes is looking to and fro. God is just searching for a heart to bless, to show himself strong. Now the question is that your heart, would that be your heart? If your heart is full of bitterness, your heart will not be located. Satan will use you. Praise the Lord. But all this that Joseph is telling his siblings that, look, whatever you planned for evil was meant by God for my good. Absolutely. You executed treachery, but it ended up in my exaltation. And my exaltation was meant for your own good. So I'm not going to deal with you with revenge. I'm not going to plan evil against you. I'm not going to use my position right now to make sure that you are dead. No, I understand deeper things than you do. So I'm not going to play according to your own terms. I know truly that God meant something greater. Amen. So that's what he told his brothers. He says, "No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you who sent me. You didn't send me here. It was God. God sent me here. It wasn't you." Hallelujah. "I know the wicked things that you've done, but it wasn't you. God meant it for a purpose." Hallelujah. Now that takes me to another very, very, very complex theological discussion. Hallelujah. Very complex here. How God involved himself with the evildoers. My brother, you heard that? How God involved himself with evildoers. Hallelujah. Now, what am I saying? If it had not been for the betrayal, Joseph wouldn't have actually arrived in Egypt. Why is it that God chose that path? A mystery of his own wisdom. God himself, his Bible says in the book of James that he's not the author of evil. And he does not also tempt us with what? Evil. So that is true. But here again, we see that God can use the wicked ways of and wicked hearts and wicked plans that Satan planted in the hearts of people. God can turn it and use it for his own good. Oh my God. Get this revelation right now. It's coming to you because it will help you. Amen. So, I believe that God permits Satan to instigate Joseph's brothers to evil. He permitted it. He allowed it. Because God, who gave the revelation, could have stopped them immediately from the beginning. But he permitted Satan to instigate evil in the heart of these people. Satan is the author of evil. Hallelujah. So he permitted it. But God had a bigger picture, a bigger plan. Amen. Remember in the book of Luke, 22, the verse 31, Jesus told Peter that Satan has requested permission to sift you, but I prayed for you that after you have gone through all this, you will what? Stand. Jesus told Peter, Satan requested permission to sift you, but I prayed for you. What does that mean? That Satan operates within God's own imposed limits. That Satan cannot cross God's imposed limits. So do not be surprised about some things. Do not be surprised about some things. So Jesus told Peter, look, Satan asked permission. I love that. You know, when you take the story of Job, Satan appeared before God and was also discussing, making sort of trying to bargain. And so we're familiar with this approach. We know that Satan can ask permission. But God sets the limit that he, Satan, cannot cross. And in such adventures, remember that God's purpose and God's interest is above anything that the devil thought he was doing. The Bible says if the princes had known, they wouldn't have touched the Lord. So that's what I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. So Satan operates within the limits imposed by God. And it's very important that you get this. You know, when Jesus was born, first of all, there was a prophecy that out of Egypt I called my son. So that prophecy was there. Now, how is this prophecy going to happen? The prophecy was there before Jesus was born. That prophecy, out of Egypt, I call my son. How is this prophecy going to manifest? That's why many times many of us get offended prophetically, because sometimes the way things happened, they really don't make meaning to us. And we blame prophet, we chastise them. Because logic, sometimes we want God to logically speak to us. Now that prophecy has to happen. But then somebody has to be used called Herod. And God allowed wickedness to be planted in the heart of Herod to seek the death of the son. That will lead to them fleeing to Egypt. That by the time he is returning from Egypt, this prophecy would have been what? Fulfilled. Out of Egypt I call my son. But who did God use? Hallelujah. God used Herod. It was Herod that God used. You look at the casualties of children who were killed. But God's purpose was there. He knew exactly what he was fulfilling. That the prophecy that was spoken, or he spoke through his prophets, might be fulfilled. There must be a moment where Jesus must come from Egypt. Even though Jesus wasn't born in Egypt. And somebody called Herod must be used. Beloved, what are we learning tonight? It may look as though hell is broken loose against you. But God knows what he's doing. You don't have to be bitter. Because some people seek your destruction or sought to kill you. If God is with you, he will set limits they cannot cross. I thought you would say amen. Hallelujah. He, God, will set limits they can never cross. If God is the one in charge of your story, he, God, will set limits that whatever Satan instigated in the hearts of those people, will turn for your glory. So bitterness is not a good asset. It is not something good that we must keep. To be bitter. Bitterness has led so many people unto the grave. There are carcasses of people who live bitter lives, who followed bitter people, people who were bitter, who got people infected with their bitterness, envy, malice, jealousy. And that was the problem Joseph's brother's heart. I pray in Jesus' name. This is just a short one today. I pray that you don't have to be bitter. Don't get bitter. Bitterness results in failure. Bitterness will not let your ministry grow. Bitterness will not let things work within you. Bitterness doesn't help the church of Jesus. Bitterness can be infectious and destructive. Don't be bitter. Don't keep bitterness. Well, once in a while we all get bitter, but don't keep it. Pray about it. Ask God to give you the grace not to be bitter. Hallelujah. There will be many reasons why we have to be bitter. And as you said, Joseph had reason to be bitter. Joseph had many reasons to pray fire upon those enemies to die. Hallelujah, as some people do. Joseph may have reasons upon reasons, beloved, reasons upon reasons to call for their destruction, to command the army under his authority, to kill him, evil-minded towards him. But beloved, I want to tell you, he did not do that. He said, you didn't bring me to Egypt, God did. What he was saying is, you are not in charge of this story. You didn't initiate it. Even if the devil instigated you, God meant it for a reason. God is doing something. God meant it for a purpose. Look at where I am today. It is because even though you had an evil plan, God used your plan. God knew about it. God designed it. God allowed it. And look at where I am today. Don't keep bitterness. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Don't get infected by the cancer of bitterness. Somebody will run to you and out of bitterness try to destroy a church, a people, unto you. Guard your heart against the infection that is spreading of bitterness. Bitter, envy, malice, jealousy. Get these things out of your heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.